Before we get to the king of marketing.
Waffle is the word again.
The king of keeping yourself out there front and center. And yes. I say that with admiration.
Yes.
We got a special message from somebody.
Oh, we did.
One of the most respected journalists this city has ever seen is joining us right now, Mr. Leon Bibb. Hello, Leon.
Leon!
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Well. You were inspired by our fireworks conversation?
We've all done stupid things.
And
count me among that number.
No, you didn't.
No, come on, Leon.
And that's why I don't fool with fireworks. I quit when I was about 12 years old because when I was growing up in Cleveland, we would set up fireworks off inside a bottle. You'd drop it in a bottle and watch the glass go everywhere. And we would duck behind a wall before it went off and just listen to it. And nobody got hurt. Nobody got hurt, but it was stupid stuff. But when you're 10 years old, you do stupid stuff. And I'm telling kids out there, don't do that. And then I had a friend who actually held a firework, one of the little bitty ones, in his hand and let it go off. I'll never forget that. And he didn't get hurt. I mean, I don't understand why not. But every time I come see a fireworks, I don't even want to handle them, even if they're not lit. I don't even want to be around them. So leave them alone. I don't go for the backyard stuff. I don't go for the backyard stuff.
Leon.
You're in the group, Leon.
I'm telling you.
We couldn't agree more.
You know, when you get to be an old man and you look back upon your childhood, you say, I did stupid stuff, and only by the grace of God am I still here, you know.
Well, thank God you were, because we'd have missed a lot of great journalism if you weren't.
Yeah. So don't fool with fireworks.
Don't fool with fireworks. Sorry. Leon Bibb says, kids, don't fool with fireworks. By the way, big week for Glenville. Superman coming out this week. Your alma mater.
Big week for Glenville. You got Joe Schuster and Jerry Siegel, who invented Superman. They went to Glenville High School long before my time, back in the 1930s. And I've been to the Superman house there on Kimberly Avenue, where one of the boys grew up. And there's a guy who bought that house. He's been in it for a long time now. And he's turned it into a museum. Into a museum.
Leon, you are the man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Superman, Leon, thank you. Say it one more time for all the kids, Leon.
Don't fool with fireworks.
Leon Bibb, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Thanks, Leon. You're the best.
You guys take care.
You too.
Stay warm.
One of the great journalists in our city's history.
I do believe we have a quick predict.
Mr. Leon Bibb.
Drop right there. Don't fool with fireworks.
Let's see what I can do.
All right.
That works out perfectly.
Yes.
He is a gentleman who knows how to market himself.
Say that again.
And the best thing about it is like, no, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. Is there, Andy?
There is if he just wanted to put a little... somebody brought this up on the morning show this morning. I thought it was a great point. This is the first time LeBron doesn't really control his own destiny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he does a point because of no trade.
He said, yes, I'll take the 50-some million.
Yeah, that's true. He decided to be there. But then this week, he just shows up all around town. And for the first time ever, you know, you've got stories of this. Maybe this L.A. thing isn't as great as it's made out to be.
Well, maybe.
Let's not. LeBron is the best media hyper I've ever seen. Is that the right way, media? He knows how to control the media better than any player than I've ever seen.
He makes sure that he controls the narrative.
All the time.
That's tough to do.
Yes.
However.
But you have to be really good to pull that off. That's the thing.
On July 4th, Hoop Central on X put out a picture. LeBron at the Cavs practice facility today.
Mm-hmm.
And there was LeBron with his arm around some young man who is not identified, and I'm not sure who it is. And LeBron not wearing a shirt. And if you and I looked that way without wearing a shirt, we wouldn't wear shirts. LeBron followed it up because people started going, wait a minute, LeBron's at the Cavs practice facility. Oh, look out, look out, look out, LeBron. And every summer since it was built, I live here still, and I train every summer. And then looks like a typo. He said, basically, you're all bored. Go get a plate of food somewhere and enjoy the 4th of July.
You know, but he knows that that's going to send a little chill down the spine of the folks with the Lakers. Rob Pelinka can't like that. Annie?
Well,
are you trying to tell me there's nowhere else where he could work out?
Otherwise, maybe he's just, staying in great shape, Andy. And where's
You're saying he doesn't have a gym in his house?
Would you go to a... You know, I actually don't believe that he's got a full gym.
No, I'm not talking about to be able to play basketball. I'm talking about weight room.
Oh, I'm sure he's got that.
Yeah.
But why would you?
You walk into VASJ anytime he wants to?
I'm sure he probably... not. You mean St. V, St. M. He could probably go to Villa Angela St. Joe's if he wanted to.
He could,
just got to make a phone call. Sorry, I'm LeBron. I want to go to VASJ.
All these four-letter schools are killing me, man. Sorry.
Four-letter schools.
We'll get it fixed.
We got too many of them. Any more four-letter schools?
That's just my favorite little drop you play.
We'll get it fixed.
Yeah, or St. Vincent, St. Mary.
I love it, though. There's LeBron. Hi, I'm in the Cavs practice facility, but there's nothing to see here.
Although that's soon to be the WNBA practice facility.
Well, apparently not soon, but close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great idea.
We were talking before about if you were on another team, why wouldn't you want to work out there? I mean, look, he is in the NBA, and that is an NBA facility, and it's top rate.
And it was built close to Akron for a reason.
Yeah. Can we make the drive half the drive for LeBron when he wants to come to practice?
Worked out well, didn't it?
It did work out really well, didn't it?
It's a beautiful facility.
I'm surprised they didn't build something a little bit closer to 82 or something a little bit. I mean, there's plenty of land out there.
LeBron
at the time, there wasn't a hospital over there or anything.
So. He can get there in less than 20 minutes.
If Shador was driving, he'd be there in like 10. Too soon?
Rim shot?
Too soon?
Wow.
Remember, LeBron also got a ticket for exceeding double digits.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah. See, Shador, you have something to look forward to. I forgot about LeBron doing the same thing.
LeBron!
There you go.
You keep plugging away, little buckaroo. You'll get there one day.
If you're the Cavs, you okay with him training there?
Yeah, why not? Who cares?
Yeah, that's what I think.
I think it's good for...
Why not?
Again, it's good for marketing, right? If it's good enough for LeBron, it's good enough for any player in the NBA. And if you, and I think it's awesome that teams can go in there and work out if they want to. I would let any player in the NBA, if they wanted to, during open gym, right? Obviously, unless there's some kind of Cavs function at that time. I would welcome them with open arms and treat them with a full court press of niceness when they walk in the room, because you never know when someone's going to play for you. Although I would be a little upset if I was from another team. Wouldn't you? If you were the Lakers, don't you think they're a little upset about him working out?
No, Andy, it's completely innocent. Completely innocent.
Just like
as
that dinner
LeBron
with,
said, yeah. I live here still and I train every summer. You're all bored. Go get a plate of food somewhere and enjoy the 4th of July. So completely innocent. Unless Mike and Chardon's right. Hello, Mike.
Mike, what do you got for us?
It's actually Mike and Stowe, guys.
Oh, Mike and Stowe.
It just looks like Chardon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mike, there's no imposter, and so I'm not moving to Chardon. There's too much snow up there. I'm not a show big.
Some people would say that Stowe is Chardon Heights, but who knows? Keep going. Yes.
So, good afternoon, guys. How are you doing? How was your holiday?
Good. It was good. Are you going to drop a nugget on us here?
No. I got something good for as far as LeBron. So this is why I really believe. You know, like, he's done this a few times in the past. And, you know, obviously we can all recognize that that's, you know, what he does to bring the narrative back to him, because he wants to stay in the limelight. It's part of his brand. You know, part of making money when you're a billionaire is just keeping it on you. You know, that's how it continues to roll even faster. So, but I really believe that he is thinking like this, that, you know, L.A. is going to be tough. I believe he wants a better final chapter to his story. I think he wants to get, you know, the narrative back on him even more. What better way to do it than to go out in complete style? And I don't know that he knows he can do it in L.A. I don't know if that roster is able to get over that hump, especially in the West. So I really see him thinking like, you know, I could work my way back. There's one of two opportunities. It's either Cleveland or New York, because they're the best two chances in the East to take it. And one's way better as far as the whole, you know, ending.
Oh, no.
Mike, your phone's busting up.
It's true, but it's like,
No, your phone was busting up. That's why I said, oh, no.
Oh, no. Is he okay now?
Yeah, you're good now. Keep going.
Okay. All right. So I believe that he loves the attention. And look, what he got, he has to get it back this way. You know, and if there's something to this, now, I just don't think LA can pull it off. So keep posted, guys. I'm not, I don't even know if I want to lose all we have to lose to get rid of him, be certain of that. But I honestly think there is something to this. So,
all right, Mike, thank you very much. I don't. I actually think that L.A. made a decent move in getting DeAndre Ayton. I like him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some talk that maybe he's not the most motivated guy. I thought he played fairly well for Portland, former number one overall pick. You put Ayton with LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves. That's a real nice foursome.
Does LeBron real want nice. More? Does LeBron want more?
Well, he always
more?
Wants more, and you can't
yeah,
blame
and
him.
So is he not putting the full court press on?
I
never had a problem with LeBron not signing long-term deals here because he constantly put pressure on the front office to make the team better every year.
And he made so much money off the court that he could do that.
Yeah.
And risk the idea of injury and not getting, you know, $200 million locked in or $300 million or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was interesting that he didn't, but man, it's paid off for him without question. One thought with him and the Cavs, and this is why I think, okay, there he sits at the Cavs practice facility, and why he follows up with, hey, LeBron was at the practice facility today, and he says, and every summer since it was built. It's this. He picked up his option. Because he picked up his option, he's going to make over 50-some million dollars this year. If he didn't pick up the option, he could have signed here on a vet minimum. If he really wanted to come back, that's not LeBron. I don't blame him. I mean, why would anybody, even a rich guy, walk away from 50-some million dollars? Why would you do that? You wouldn't do that.
No.
So how can the Cavs possibly acquire a guy making 50-some million dollars? You'd have to make a big trade. And yeah. I don't know that works.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, I mean, if he just wanted to come back to Cleveland, he could have done it. He could have not picked up his option and signed a vet minimum like Larry Nance Jr. did.
True. So I just think every once in a while he shows up in the news to make sure his name is still in the headlines and to make his current employer feel a little uncomfortable if they feel like they've done enough.
Not, and I get it.
And until you win a championship, you haven't done enough.
He's in position to do that. They have won a championship,
but
now he wants another. And I get it. I understand. I just, if he really wanted to come back to Cleveland and have the best chance to win a championship, if those two things were the biggest things, back to Cleveland and win a championship, he would have not picked up his option. He would have signed here on a vet minimum, and he would have slid in at small forward next to Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland.
I hate to bring this up because I heard this coming in too, but I wonder, Anthony said that he had talked to a lot of fans over the weekend about this too. And this story didn't come up as much as the Guardians did for me talking to people, but just saying that would they even want LeBron back?
No, of course they would.
Do Cavs fans, well, not in, Cavs if you fans. Go back and play a cut from their show,
yeah, well,
he painted a picture where they were like, okay, that page is turned.
Those are Lima snarky friends.
Oh, he does have some snarky friends.
Come on.
That's true.
You know the deal.
That's true. Good point.
Anthony, we love you and your friends.
Yes. Countdown to Browns training camp is on, and the preseason is also. You know what that means. Oh, it's going to be that quarterback competition as it takes center stage. The NBA offseason is here, too, so the Cavs could make a big move at any moment. You got to be locked in. You know you do. Don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 923thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
We're going to hear from the newest Cavalier, Lonzo Ball, coming up in just a second here on Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Andy Baskin. Matt Corrale taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. And Dan Menigan getting ready to let us hear from Lonzo Ball coming up in just a second. Before we get to that, the official Kevin Durant deal was announced. And this turns into the largest trade in NBA history with seven teams involved. How the heck do you put something like that together? Isn't that stunning?
Logistics expert.
How they do these things? I just think it's really wacky. I mean, how do you get seven teams? And I know there are different parts and this blah, 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 blah. How do you get seven teams to all agree to something like this?
You use the trade machine.
That's just how everyone knows how to do it.
Yeah, they go on ESPN and they're like, all right, let's do the trade machine.
So there are seven teams involved.
Save ourselves a lawyer.
The Rockets, Phoenix Suns, Lakers, Golden State, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Minnesota, all part of this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant was the big name. And it's fascinating to me, the longer that these guys play, that the big guys in the deal are guys in their mid to late 30s sometimes, even older in certain situations. And you think, man, that's where the league is now.
Mm-hmm.
35, 36-year-old guys are the big deal in the trade.
That's a record, too, for the NBA, right?
It's the biggest trade, yeah.
Biggest trade in NBA history. Record 17-team trade.
So they say. Mm-hmm. Clint Capella also going to the Rockets in that. So I think they picked up a couple of veterans who can really help them. And so that'll be good for them. Suns are involved. They're getting Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks. Lakers are getting a guy. Golden State getting a couple of guys. Minnesota getting 2 second-round picks and cash and a guy. Atlanta getting a guy. Brooklyn getting a couple of seconds. It's fascinating to me how these things get put together. And that's good. That's done. Let's turn that in. League's going to have to take a week and a half to figure it all out. So that's a good thing. Cavaliers have made some moves this offseason so far. I like the moves. I'll say I like what they've done so far.
So far, so good. Are they a better team than they were 2 weeks ago? I don't know if they're that much better. If Ball's healthy, though, that seems to be an upgrade.
Well, there it is again.
If he's healthy.
I wish you would quit saying that, except for one thing.
It's truthful.
That's exactly right. It's the exact right thing to say. If Lonzo Ball is able to play more than 35 games that he's played in the last 3 years, Cavs made a pretty sweet move. And they traded Isaac Okoro for Lonzo Ball. They've also re-signed Sam Merrill instead of Ty Jerome. So apparently, they felt that Ty Jerome was more replaceable than Sam Merrill. Different skill sets.
Yeah.
Sam a shooter, and Ty maybe more of a scorer, and not as good at handling the ball as Lonzo Ball, if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then signing Larry Nance Jr. to a vet minimum contract is a no-brainer. I mean, Larry will be coming off the bench for the team, and he'll give them a veteran presence, somewhat big man off the bench. He plays bigger than he is. He's like 6'7", maybe 6'8", but he plays bigger than that, so that's a good thing. Lonzo Ball was on the What an Experience podcast on the 4th of July, and he talked about becoming a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We have three different comments from him. We'll start with this, and it's what he's looking forward to here in Cleveland.
Just playing, competing for a ring. I mean, I feel like that should be the goal. I feel like that is the goal. So happy to get over there and get started. You know, meet everybody, get familiar with everything, and take it as far as we can.
Okay. Like that?
I think he's optimistic about this. I would be. I mean, again, it goes back to that big H word, health.
Yes, it does. I'm going from the Chicago Bulls, who most folks don't have on the radar as a contender in the Eastern Conference, to the Cavaliers, who most folks think are the number one contender in the Eastern Conference. Here's Lonzo on that.
I feel like it's just a blessing, bro, to be honest. I mean, everybody keep asking me how I feel about the trade, how you feel about the trade. I'm like, I'm happy to still be playing anywhere, let alone a team that has a real chance to, you know, win a ring.
Who's he sound like? He sounds like somebody.
A mellow version of his father?
I don't know. We'll think about that.
Yeah.
And then finally, just thoughts on coming to Cleveland and being a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Here's Lonzo Ball.
My whole life I've been, you know, playing, I feel like, the right brand of basketball, and that's to win games. So going to a great situation, and I just want to play my role and do what I can to help.
Okay.
He does sound like somebody. I can't.
Yeah.
Can you put your finger out? I can't.
Almost sounds like LeBron to me.
That was the first name I thought of, but I wasn't going to say it. So.
Yeah, a little bit. So that's all well and good. I wish we could get all excited about it. If it was Lonzo Ball coming out of UCLA and going to the Lakers and before the major knee reconstruction, you know, he had things transplanted. I'm guessing he didn't get those from a live person, so he got those from, you know, somebody who's no longer with us.
Yeah.
Donated to an NBA player.
That's why we talk about Life Bank all the time.
Well, yeah. Dude missed two seasons and then played only 35 games last year. The only thing that's wrong with this, Andy, to me, is this. if the Cavs are banking on Lonzo Ball being healthy, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. If they think Jalen Tyson can do the same types of things, can handle the ball, can initiate the offense about the same height, if they think that he can orchestrate the offense, if Lonzo's not there, okay, then I think they're covered. But if you're banking on Lonzo Ball being your basically third guard, I think that's a big gamble.
Are you hoping that he starts, though, with Darius hurt?
Yes, actually, I am.
You're hoping that he starts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Darius comes back, obviously Darius starts, if he's still here, and I would assume he will be. But I would assume you're going to start Lonzo Ball.
I don't know who else would you start.
Terry Porter? Terry Pluto's written some really good stuff, some great analysis on all this. And the word that he has been getting from folks in sources with the Cavaliers about Craig Porter and work ethic and working harder at things, which I found a little surprising.
I mean, I could have said Proctor, but I just think it's too early to say that. But
You can't put that heat on a second-round pick.
No.
If you get lucky there, you get lucky there. That would be really good.
Yeah, you're hoping that he can come off the bench and be in the top 8, 9 in the rotation?
I would think if he's in the rotation, you'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Tyson was, keep this in mind, Jalen Tyson was a first-round pick last year and was not in the rotation.
Good point. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right. So what did Terry say? You were kind of talking about that?
Yeah, the Craig Porter Jr., the Cavs really wanted to work on conditioning and work ethic. And I thought, wow, really? That's rough. I mean, that's not what you're looking for out of your young guy, is it?
No, but I don't know. Was the entire team in condition when they hit Indiana? I don't think they knew what was coming when they hit that. When that full court press hit them, I don't know that we're ready. And there were a lot of times where I felt like they ran out of gas in that Indiana series.
Well, Indiana was sure in shape.
Yeah, they were ready for it. They were. Now, is that an entire team thing or is that just Craig Porter Jr.?
It's kind of a shame what happened to the Pacers. You know, Halliburton getting hurt and then Miles Turner taking off, going to Milwaukee. Can't blame him.
Oh, you're talking about the big picture. I thought you were just talking about the NBA Finals.
No, I'm big picture. I mean,
I still wonder, does Indiana win that game if Halliburton's healthy for the whole game? I don't know. It's a close game.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm really bummed I didn't get to see it.
I know.
Yeah, none of us did. I feel like we got cheated.
I know.
I mean, we invested time into two cities we probably really don't care about. And I was all in.
Really nice.
I was all in. By the way, speaking of Indiana really quick,
did you
see what the Sparks said? So apparently a two-point game yesterday, the WNBA, Indiana and LA, right? And LA goes to social media last night. They were like, teams with a beef against Indiana, Detroit, Cleveland, and LA. I'm kind of an LA Sparks fan now, but back to the Cavaliers. Sorry. It was an Indiana line.
Indiana made a trade. They picked up a guy. To
fill it up, man.
I like it. We've already got rivals before they even take the floor.
Isn't that great? Indiana picked up another center. And if they can. They can get lucky. They picked up a center, a guy named Jay Huff from the Grizzlies, who before you say, who's Jay Huff? We beat you to it.
I know Brendan Huff, counts for something.
No, Michael Huff used to play for the Indians.
I was a big fan.
Remember Michael Huff?
Oh, yeah, Huff Bakery. Man, they had the best chocolate chip cookies, and then they made this, like, this white coconut cake that was so good.
Oh, okay. Man. Different spelling on Huff.
Oh, does it really matter?
I think it does.
You don't have to be in a huff about this.
You give me the nod for a rim shot after that.
Even
Les LeVine would be like, eh, I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, so who are you starting next year, Jeff? So if Garland's hurt, it's Ball, Mitchell, Mobley, Allen, Strus? Yeah.
Nope. Hunter.
Or Hunter. Hunter over Strus.
Yeah. I think the team needs to start DeAndre Hunter next year. And I think Max Strus becomes your super sub. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can play two, and he can play small forward for you. And I'm going to turn Max Strus into like instant energy off the bench. And I'm going to make sure DeAndre Hunter starts, and I'm going to make sure he gets shots.
Nance is in the rotation, right?
Oh, without question.
Okay, but he's sitting probably 8-9, don't you think? Merrill will be ahead of him probably. Strus will be ahead of him, so that's two.
You know why?
Why?
Name me any other big guy on this team not named Jared Allen or Evan Mobley.
Yeah, so he'd have to come in for either one of those two guys.
There
you go.
Right,
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
All right, let's.
He has to play, and he will play. He'll play a lot.
Kevin Love do anything for you guys?
Nope.
If let's say he gets bought out from Utah, that do anything?
I mean, the reunion tour could happen, right? If Tristan's not here, why not bring Kevin back? So we can do another awkward interview with his wife. It'll be great.
You know, like we said, you're like a daughter to the city of Cleveland.
Oh!
But, you know.
Thanks, Andy.
Man, I forgot about how awkward her laugh was on the back. You're like, daughter to the.
I'm from Canada. Worth playing again.
She's like, I'm from Canada, man. I'm good. I'm good.
You know, like we said, you're like a daughter to the city of Cleveland right now, to Jeff and I, because we're two old guys. So, but, you know.
Thanks, Andy.
Oh, my God. Can we erase that, please?
Nope.
Oh, man.
I honestly.
No, I had to dig to find it. I was really proud when I found it. I thought we deleted it.
I should have followed that up with, you guys playing cards? You guys playing cards? So you're saying if we were in Czechoslovakia, I would get the top ball.
All right, okay, initial reaction. I immediately said no to Kevin.
If like Kevin going to Wisconsin,
if Kevin if Kevin were okay with signing a vet minimum,
yeah,
and my guess is he would be.
Come home, Kevin.
I'd be okay with that. You know why?
Is he better than Tristan? What Tristan give us last year?
Kevin could give you some center minutes.
He could hit a three every once in a while.
And he can step out. You can be sure he'll be able to shoot threes when he's 50.
Yeah.
So you could do worse than put Kevin Love at the end of your rotation at this point in his career. He's 36. He didn't play much last year. His dad was sick. His dad passed away recently.
Yeah, especially the end of the year there.
Yeah.
No fun.
And he didn't play much. But see, here's what I wonder. And he was away from the Heat for personal reasons for a portion of the year, and I'm sure it was his dad. If you have Lonzo Ball, who played in only 35 games last year, and if you brought in Kevin Love, who played in only 23 games last year.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Is that a little too much of keeping your fingers crossed that you can squeeze something out of a couple of former UCLA Bruins? Because that's not the way you build a championship bench, by keeping your fingers crossed, is it?
No. At least I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Keep that in mind, though. Kevin going to Utah in a trade today. Chances are he'll be bought out. Then he'll be looking for a team. So stay tuned. We will see, won't we? Could go to the Lakers and play with LeBron. Already knows Los Angeles from going to school there. And Andy stumbled across something that he had to make sure that we got to look at for good reason. This was very cool, and it happened in a minor league baseball game. It was weird.
It was bizarre. It was the bases were loaded, and it was the Northwoods League. And what happened was
that's a college summer baseball league.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I didn't know if that was minors or not. But so these two teams are playing, right? And there was one out, and guy hits a ground ball to what would have been the shortstop. But the runner who was standing at second as he was going to third looked like the ball could hit him. So what he did was he just picked up the ball while it was on its way.
In perfect fielding position.
Yeah, and so he picked it up.
He turned like he was fielding a ground ball.
Yeah, but he was the guy coming off of second base. So the call on the field was dead ball, hits the runner, and then keeps there's no runner at third. So
you'd still have runners on first and second.
Yeah, so that was the call. So what he did essentially was break up the double play by doing that. And the announcers are like, that's a brilliant play. That's great. That was really smart. So I'm going to leave it at that. And then
is that the way it goes?
What do you think? What do you think of the play? Let's start there. And then what do you think the right call should have been?
Well, you tell me what the outcome was, and I'll tell you if it was a smart play. If he thought he was going to get hit.
The outcome was dead ball, and he was the only one out.
That's what I would think it is. It's a dead ball because it hit the runner.
Yes.
The funny thing is the kid picked up the ball and then just flipped it back to the pitcher.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I would think that that is just dead ball and there's only one out on the play because you can't.
And what did I tell you I thought it would be?
You thought it might be dead ball and the runner going to second would have been out because of a double play.
Should have been that at the umpire's discretion, he could call that guy out.
I don't think so. Because the ball's dead as soon as it hits the runner.
According to Close Call Sports, instead, the call should have been willful and deliberate or intentional, depending on the rules code, interference by the runner. And that means that both runner two is out, which would be him, for interference. But also, the batter runner is out for interference as well. So I guess it would have been the batter, too, that they would have called out. So that the umpire should be at the... I mean, if you're trying to cheat the game... I think the umpire should have the discretion to make a play like that, much like awarding a goal in hockey. You hardly ever see that, but and so in this scenario, I think the umpire had every right in the world to say, nope, that was deliberate, exactly everything you did. So not only are you out, but the batter's out. Or I don't know if they would call the runner at second out because if they deemed it was possible for the shortstop, if the ball had come at its normal pace, to just be able to toss it over to second to get that runner too. But I guess it's easier to call the batter out, right? Is that the right call? What do you think is the right call there?
I thought dead ball because it hit the runner and that's it.
But and so it didn't matter that it was deliberate that he picked up the ball in the first place.
Well, I didn't know the rule. So I would have thought just dead ball and the runners are on base.
Yeah, I would have thought the umpire would have some discretion in that. And so it sounds like that's the way.
But they ruled it, though, just that guy was out.
They ruled it what you thought, yeah.
Which I'm not sure is right, but
yeah, it's like rule 6.1 or something of baseball.
That's a goodie.
You know, it's either 6.1 or I don't know, 5.4 is not so bad either.
6.3 is one of my favorites.
Dan, did you see the play? Did you see it?
I did see the play.
I like the play-by-play guy. I think was right at the time. He's like, "That's a brilliant play," and I was like, "You know what? That is kind of a brilliant play." But is he better off? He probably would have been better off just letting the ball hit him. Rather than him making a play on the ball.
Yeah, the minute that he makes a play, except if you're, here's the other thing though. It had to be, well, clearly it was intentional because he turned and fielded the ball.
Yeah.
If he had time to turn and get into fielding position, and he did it quickly, I'll give him that. It's not, you'd have thought he might have been able to get out of the way of the ball.
But then they would have had a double play.
Maybe.
A potential for a double play. Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. I was always taught in that scenario, you tell me this is wrong too, Jeff, that you stay there as long as you possibly can to try to disrupt the shortstop and then jettison before the ball hits you.
Oh, jettison.
So so you would disturb the shortstop.
That mean like move along?
Yes.
Nice.
Why do I do this?
That's big. I like that.
Dan, 13 years and he's nitpicking
it. That's a good word. That's a good word. No, I was complimenting the word.
Oh, you're good with jettison? All right.
We've established he's a horse's rear end. We've established.
All right, we're good with that then.
That's not very
nice. So am I wrong? Isn't that you should kind of get there, stop before the ball hits you if you're going to third, stop, and try to impede the shortstop so that they can't make
and impede in the same segment.
Just saying. So that the visual isn't there for the shortstop, and then right before the ball gets there, run.
What goons do you think you work with?
Me or you?
Jeff!
No, I like that. This is almost as good as the earlier segment in the show when you had a tight end, a fullback, and a long snapper all in the same segment.
You were not surprised by that?
I was happy for you.
Again, I think he believes he works with mouth-breathing goons.
Sad state of affairs. When are we, 14? Do we do anything for our 14th anniversary coming up here?
You better buy me dinner.
Do we? Why would I have to buy you? Why don't you buy me dinner? It was Baskin and nobody before it was Baskin and Phelps. Let's be honest. You left me hanging for 5 full days. 5. Although we did have some pretty good people.
Could I help it if the poobah wanted me to sign a contract that gave him 2 of my 3 children?
Well, college would have been cheaper, wouldn't it?
That's a really good point.
I mean,
that's a really good point.
So
it would have been sad seeing your kids play baseball and it'd say Puba on their back rather than Phelps.
Supposedly, according to some brief Googling, for a 14th anniversary, it's supposed to be ivory.
Ivory.
So 2 bars of soap?
No elephant tusks. It was really illegal.
I think two bars of soap might be your answer.
Well, you know, isn't that what was underneath Andy Dufresne's feet as he was crawling through the pipe?
The MLB draft is coming up. I believe it's a week from yesterday is the first round.
Oh, my God. Who are we taking? Well, who are we taking in the draft, Jeff? I need to know. What middle infielder are we taking?
I've seen one name pop up in a couple of mock drafts. And, you know,
why are you doing this?
For whatever it's worth, it's this. A kid named Ethan Conrad is an outfielder at Wake Forest.
Do you have to sign him above slot?
No, do you have to call him Ethan Conrad?
I'll tell you what.
Below slot.
If he comes here.
Oh, he's got NIL written all over him.
If he comes here, the Guardians can get him an NIL deal.
That's right. Nathan Conrad.
Why are you Ethan, doing this?
Not Nathan. What do you mean, why are we doing this? It's easy why we're doing this, because they can't hit.
The MLB draft is coming up. Let me put my head on top of a baseball bat, spin 45 times, and grab a handful of darts.
Hey, can you be honest, though?
Behind my right ear.
While you're getting upset, we were pretty excited last year when they had the first pick overall. We did do baseball draft talk.
Oh, we did. And even then, we looked at each other and went, this thing is such a crapshoot. Who knows what the hell's going to happen?
If you hadn't rudely cut me off, I could get you to my point.
Yes, there you go, Mr. Rude.
I got your red pen right here, mister.
Bar Ivory Soap's looking better by the hour.
It's this. That's what...
Keep crawling.
Anyhow, it's this. This is the point. The point is this. Is the organization finally ready to draft a power hitter in the first round of the draft? I mean, they did it several years ago when they took Will Benson, followed by Nolan Jones, and then traded them both away. You just drafted Travis Bazzana. Are you going to draft another middle infielder, or are you going to go for this kid like Ethan Conrad from Wake Forest, who, by the way, transferred from Marist, which I think is interesting.
They're a pretty good hockey school, I think.
Are they?
Yeah.
Good. Well, if he played hockey, that's good, but he doesn't. He's 6'3", 220 pounds. Hello! You had me at hello. Actually, you had me at 6'3", 220. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, but ESPN says the Guardians are taking a high school pitcher.
I've seen them taking a high school third baseman.
ESPN says Guardians can be class. Oh, here's a shocker. Ready? Please, two hands on the wheel when I say this to you. Just please. I'm giving you a warning. Like we're about to watch some show. This is what ESPN said about the Guardians in the draft coming up. Ready? The Guardians can be classified as value shoppers. But also have invested seven figures in one prep arm in each of the past three drafts.
Trending appropriately.
I just hope they don't go draft another middle infielder. Can you please draft a guy that can hit?
What's that say about Travis Bazzana if they draft another one?
And then not get in his way.
That's not good.
Controversy?
Not get in the hitter's way. Apparently, whatever they're teaching these guys in the minors isn't working very well. You got a power hitter in Jonkenzie Noel.
Is Justin Gilbert available?
He was okay last year for a while. Jonathan Rodriguez was hitting like 330 in Columbus.
Just give me a guy that actually wants to play
baseball.
He's
under the 170 club here.
Someone you've talked to.
Pre-draft interview. Okay, good. I read the back of his bubblegum card.
Can you guys not see my point?
Did you have a point?
You have a first-round pick. Can we please not take a second baseman? Can we please not take a shortstop?
Jeff, the whole world believes that, except for maybe
we please not take a high school kid? Because the development, though high school kids can work out, how about a college hitter? Can we go get our own Jack Caglione, who's up in the majors?
Didn't we have a chance to get him once before?
Yep. Can we go get Nick Kurtz, who's up and hitting bombs for the not-to-be-called Oakland Athletics?
I don't have any problem with what the ESPN also went on to do more of the mock, and they had us taking a catcher from North Carolina.
Good. We need another catcher.
Amen. I'm okay with that. They need another catcher.
Well, they drafted Ralph Velasquez and then made him a first baseman. That's fine. Ralph, just hit, please. Ralph might be listening to the show.
With the 27th selection in the draft, ESPN predicts the Cleveland Guardians will select Luke Stevenson. Catcher, North Carolina.
Trending appropriately.
You know what? You know what catchers do?
His 24% strikeout rate is a concern.
Catchers
can't
hit
a nice thing.
Catchers hit 200 in a good year. Go get me a guy who plays a corner spot, put him out there, and let him hit 30 bombs.
I could argue catcher is the most important position on the field.
Oh, he's right there next to the tight end and the long snapper.
Oh,